50. Weigert sat at his desk, working on an answer to a physicist at Harvard who had sent him some astute questions about his book and so deserved a thoughtful answer. Most of the questions Weigert received were not astute. The majority were inane. Even accredited scientists got their knickers in a twist over the most obvious points. Weigert ignored these. He also tried to ignore the last week's furor in and around the compound. People outside clamored to be implanted. People inside excitedly made all sorts of plans, even as others decided to leave entirely because it was becoming too dangerous here. James was constantly interviewing and hiring new staff, and Julian's techs were busy running background checks on them. Julian was negotiating with both more media outlets and more medical personnel. Three lawyers, plus Bill Haggerty, were staying in Wing 1, and the compound was running out of rooms. In the refectory, there seemed to be a drinks party every night. And the meetings! Julian and he, as partners in Reality Check, called meetings every day with lawyers and island officials and financial people and the FBI, until Weigert firmly told Julian to just arrange things without him and inform him when it was time to sign papers. Someone knocked on his door. James, delivering another letter. "From overseas, doctor. By international courier. Oh, and Julian wants you right away in the security office." Weigert opened the letter, which was handwritten, and in French. Weigert's French was rusty, but once he had been fluent, and he had no trouble translating as he read. "Dear Dr. Weigert,
I write to give to you both praise and a warning.
I have read your book, which now causes such disturbance around the world's scientific and ordinary. It is an extraordinary, if partial, job. You are to be commended. However, I hold strong reservations about places where much more experimental work must be done. I detail those reservations below. The warning is this. You will receive great scorn for this work in some scientific quarters. Weaknesses will become exaggerated. Reasoning will be found faulty. Counterexamples will be given more weight than they often deserve. This will happen from those of inferior ability who will resent your achievement, from friends with sincere and genuine doubts, and, most of all, from the physics establishment, who will feel it must defend its entrenched beliefs. Already, Dieter Fischer of the Planck Institute prepares a rebuttal that reads, I have seen a draft, like an attack. You will not be able to ignore these attacks, but I urge you to try and to continue with the refinement of your theory in alliance with experimental physicists who can confirm or modify its major tenets. Your work is too important to stop. We have never met. I travel very little now for reasons of health. But if you come any moment soon to Paris, I hope to make your acquaintance. Now, for those assertions with which I disagree. On page 35, you write, there was more, much more, pages more, that Weigert would read carefully many times. Now he just stared at the spidery signature, Jean-Luc Fournier, one of the world's most eminent physicists, the winner 2 years ago of the Nobel Prize for his astonishing work on antimatter asymmetry. Jean-Luc Fournier, writing with praise for Weigert's theory. Rose, it's happening. It was bound to happen, my darling. Weigert sat down to compose an answer to Fournier. He had just begun when James knocked again. Doctor, the meeting in the security office? Weigert grimaced and laid the precious letter on his desk. Trevor, Caroline, and Aiden stood with Julian, all of them facing a screen with Agent Kaplow's hyper-enlarged face. George, Julian said, Hannah has something she wants us all to know about.
Yes,
Agent Kaplow said. Dr. Weigert, do you recognize this man? A photo brightened another screen. No, Weigert said. The man was young, in his 20s or early 30s, seated in a lawn chair among a sea of them outside the main gate. He held a video camera on his lap.
Is he a reporter?
He's posing as a reporter. We've identified him from the compound security recording. He's a member of a vicious hate group.
Weigert said.
Whom do they hate?
Julian answered before Agent Kaplow could.
Pretty much everybody, but right now, us. But why?
Julian said irritably.
Haven't you been following the many controversies about Reality Check online and in the mainstream news?
No.
George, you can't just ignore the outer world. Public reaction impacts what we're doing here.
Of course it does, Weigert said,
in the tone he could muster when necessary, but seldom used with Julian. Rose had always called it his please don't tell me what's already obvious tone.
Julian flushed slightly. Agent Kaplow stepped in.
We think this man was gathering information about the compound for a possible attack. We've picked up chatter, and we have informants. In addition, there's a stylometric match of the worst online threats you've been receiving and the group's other communications.
Stylometric match? Caro asked.
Aiden said, statistical analysis of both the words of a message and the underlying computer code.
Agent Kaplow said,
the group that your fake reporter belongs to call themselves Prophets for the End Times. They're a domestic terrorist organization that's a sort of amalgamation of white supremacists and nutjob religious fundamentalists. They hate anything they've decided contradicts their interpretations of the biblical Book of Revelation. Mainstream Christian denominations have completely repudiated them. The group posts through encrypted sites overseas, and until now we haven't identified any of the members, except for an associated person in Mozambique, which doesn't honor extradition with the U.S. We think this group may be responsible for two other drone bomb attacks in Missouri, on a psychiatrist's office, and in California, on a Buddhist monastery.
Weigert was bewildered. A psychiatrist's office?
Psychiatric therapy attributes evil to something other than demon possession.
Aiden said, but what about alternate mayhem?
We're very close to making more arrests and to taking down the websites for good. But with regard to Prophets for the End Times, I wanted both to update you and to warn you to maintain vigilance. Dr. Weigert, yesterday you took a cup of coffee into the residential courtyard and sat at a picnic bench out in the open. Since you are a particular target, that was unwise.
Weigert said, astonished.
You know what we do every moment?
If you do it out in the open, she said. So don't.
Weigert thought, but did not say aloud. It was tea, not coffee. The FBI didn't know everything.
Agent Kaplow continued. This hate group is only a few years old, but already international and well-funded. We know that in Mozambique, at least, they have pretty sophisticated tech, bought on the military black market.
Caroline said, but even so, how could they?
Julian, wouldn't that new surveillance system you put in detect any camera drones? You told me it gives a 20-second warning before a drone is over the compound.
Agent Kaplow didn't answer, but Trevor did, his gaze sharp on the screen. They might not need a camera drone. If they're sophisticated enough to be piggybacking on military surveillance in orbit. That happened once when I was in Africa. Agent Kaplow?
That's all I can tell you now.
The screen went dark.
My God, Caroline said. If they have military surveillance, then they might have black market military weapons, too.
Just be careful, Julian said.
And Weigert thought he had never heard his longtime partner sound so ineffectual. After the meeting, Weigert followed Caroline and Trevor from the security office. He had to tell someone about the letter from Jean-Luc Fournier.
May I show you both something in my room?
Caroline said warmly. Of course. What is it, George?
Something wonderful, he said. Come with me.